Sheikh Farash and Rabbi Castell, you both actually look like what you are. Nobody would walk down the street, Sheikh, and not think you were a Muslim minister. Likewise, Rabbi, nobody would pass you down the street and mistake you for anything other than an Orthodox Jew. And I was wondering, when you stand in front of the children at all these schools over all of Australia, what's the most common question you get asked personally? Rabbi, do you want to kick off with that one?
Yeah, I don't know that there is the most common, but they vary. Get some questions about why do you wear the hat, because it's something that's obvious. But also kids that have seen little things on TV. There was a Muslim girl in a Western Sydney school, and she said she'd seen on TV a Jewish wedding where they smashed a glass, and she wanted to know what that was about. So, a whole range of questions, because we make it really clear to the students that Donna Jacob Seif is a storyteller, and she's part of the team, and when she comes and the way she puts it, that you can't offend us. You know, we're not about political correctness and being polite. Ask the questions that you want to ask, that you think someone might be offended if you ask, but we'd rather you ask, so that way we can deal with those misconceptions.
Dad, that's very brave. Sheikh, what about you? What's the most common question that gets directed to you?
Yeah, I think, like Rabbi Zelman, the turban, because I've got the turban and it stands out and it looks very obvious. So a lot of the students, particularly the younger students in primary school, they ask about the turban and what it's made of and how it's made. And also, it depends on the school as well. So if we go to a school where there's a high concentration of Muslims, generally they'll ask about the faith. They'll ask questions about, you know, as a sheikh, how can you do that? How can you go with a rabbi and you know, or a Jewish person and talk about faith? And so in those circumstances, then I have to break it down and give them some advice, and also some,
because they are fearful that what you are doing is somehow un-Muslim.
Exactly. And there's the cultural and you know, what happens in the media is one side, and then there's the jurisprudential, the legal side of things. So in terms of the Sharia or the Islamic law, so a lot of time is spent in doing that in those schools. Like we had a program recently in southwestern Sydney, and we spent a lot of time tying the two together. What does it mean to be, they're all boys, so young men. So it was about, what does it mean to be responsible as a citizen, as a person, and what does it mean to be a man? And so we tied that into our responsibility that's professed in the faith and what Islam teaches, and also how that applies to living in Australia, living in the area they do, and being students in high school. And once again, we did the surveys, the questionnaires, and we asked the students. And I think most of the students, I think it was 8 out of 14 or 9 out of 14, said it was profound. And the rest were greatly affected.
So that's terrific. Rabbi, did you have the same experience as the Sheikh talking to Jewish students? Did you get some suspicion that perhaps you were doing something that was un-Jewish or non-kosher?
I didn't get that from students. I think the Jewish students we've worked with so far have got a strong sense that they're supposed to like this kind of thing.
it's interesting, isn't it?
Well, I think that we've succeeded generally in the Western world to make overt prejudice seem not respectable. What I don't think we've done as well is really drilled down into what that means. I like to think of the big issues, beliefs, identity, and grievance. And I think that often that veneer of tolerance goes straight out the window as soon as something, you know, makes people uncomfortable. So if they see someone wearing the full face veil, or hear a report about what's happening in the Middle East, or what we saw with the Cronulla riots. So kids that are well-educated, and a lot of the Jewish kids we worked with were coming from middle-class families, are good at knowing what to say, but I'm not sure how deep that understanding of dealing with difference is.
Right. Now, to both of you, gentlemen, you both come from communities which have strong stereotypes in the community at large, and one of which is that both of your communities are closed and suspicious, if not hostile, to the mainstream values. And if these stereotypes are correct, and I stand to be corrected on that. I'm presuming that neither of you are actually winning brownie points with your colleagues and your peers in your own community. Tell us how you perceive. Sheikh, do you want to start with that one?
I think the Muslim community in general, particularly after the events of September 11, Bali, the Cronulla riots, these types of events that stick in people's minds and the media plays upon because they're sensationalist and they sell newspapers, as they say. I think that there's definitely some stigma attached to being a Muslim and to the community generally, and a lot of suspicion, the terrorism laws, these types of things. So it seems to be, and that's the reality. I mean, that's how things are. I remember after September 11, I was a solicitor working in the city, and I'd catch the train during peak hour, and I'd sit on the 3-bench seat on my own, and the train would be packed full of people standing in the aisles. But no one would sit next to me. And if I had my bag with me, people would be watching my bag the whole time. And look, I can laugh about it, and
But it must have been hurtful all the same.
Definitely was. I've got nothing to do with what went on over there, and I condemn it, and I don't support it in any way, shape, or form. Neither does my faith, which is, I suppose, the critical point there. And in that regard, things are a lot better. I mean, the shock of the situation, I can understand all those things happening, but things are a lot better. And as Rabbi Zelman was saying, it's just the veneer. I think most people don't have that deep-seated hatred or discriminatory attitude. It's just, it's easy to follow the norm, and it's easy to be part of what popular thought is. And so in that regard, I think there is that disdain, in a sense, towards the community. Within my community, there's a lot of forward thinkers and a lot of people who support the product, including the imams, the program, including the imams in Lakemba, where I've been an imam for the past 4 years. And there is widespread support. Of course, there are those people who are pretty much not involved, but one time Rabbi Zalman and I were doing some filming, and one elderly gentleman followed us around and said, "What are you doing? This isn't right. This isn't what's going on." And he said, "You shouldn't be talking to the Jews." And at that same time, what was happening in Israel and Palestine, where the leaders of both countries or leaders of both sides talking with each other, trying to come to a peace deal. So some people are misguided in their own understanding of what's going on there, and of course they try and put that upon me or upon us. But it's a small minority, very, very small minority.
What about your experience, Rabbi, in your own community?
Yeah, I guess I think of my own community in many different ways. In some ways, the Together for Humanity community is a very strong community of mine, very like-minded people of all different faiths, and funny little things happen, but that's a very big part of my world. Otherwise, I guess I think of myself as being part of the Sydney Jewish community as well as a Hasidic community. In the Sydney Jewish community, there's broad support for the work I do. In the Hasidic community, it's a bit more mixed in terms of when I go back to visit my parents in the States. I was in Indonesia, and I got put it on my Facebook page that I was in this at a conference, World Peace, something or other, put on by a Muslim organization. And a school friend of mine sent me a message in Yiddish saying, "Was pascht sich in fremde Felder?" What are you doing in these? Why are you grazing in the foreign fields or something like that? So a little bit of that. I think there's probably more surprise, but at the same time, one of the Hasidic rabbis that I knew from growing up is wanting to replicate this in Canada. So
there you go.
Mm.
Now, I want to conclude our conversation by asking you both for a very, very personal reminiscence. I want you to share with us an experience that stands out in your mind of all the interchanges you've had as part of your Together for Humanity program, one which in your mind best exemplifies and epitomises what you're trying to do. Sheikh, would you like to start?
Actually, I think the very first time I was involved in the program, we went to a primary school in the Northern Beaches of Sydney. And, like I said...
That's your old stamping ground.
It is. And it was the first time I'd been involved in the program, so I was a little hesitant. I felt undertrained, and I walked in. Then it was when Hezbollah was going on. There was a whole thing in 2006. It was a lot of turmoil in the Middle East. And when I walked in, the students, I think they were only year 4 or year 5 students, they started whispering underneath their, they put their hands across their faces and started whispering things like Hezbollah and terrorist and Osama bin Laden and these types of things, thinking that I wasn't hearing them, that I didn't catch what they were doing. And I thought to myself, maybe this isn't the best idea. And then as we sat down and we did the program, the box game, we've got another game, the building blocks, we did that. And they started to know I was a surfer, and they're asking me which break do I surf, and I tell them I mainly surf at Narrabeen. And it, you know, they really started to warm to me, and I started to warm to them. And at the end, they were giving me high fives and saying, "You're awesome," and saying, "Where'd you get that turban? Where'd you get that hat from? I want to be like you. I want to dress like you." And to me, that after that, I was like, "Well,
oh, you know, I'm flying high.
I'm in. Whatever you want, I'm in. This is the way to go."
And Rabbi, what about you? What experience can you share with us?
I was sitting in Bachelor in the Northern Territory 15 minutes before we were supposed to go into a second day program with mostly 11-year-old Aboriginal students. And there's an Aboriginal elder joining us for the day. And I said to her, "How do we make this culturally appropriate?" And I didn't understand her answer. And I asked a second time and still didn't understand the answer. And I thought, Zalman, maybe this is one of those you're not listening moments. So I changed the question. I said, "Auntie, doesn't make any sense to tell 11-year-olds that they can be leaders in your way." And she said, "No." And I thought, okay, we're going in 15 minutes, but we're not having a leadership program. What we're really trying to achieve is for these children to have a sense of agency, self-respect, a recognition that they can contribute and be part of Australia and do something worthwhile in their school. How do we talk about that in a way that fits with your traditions? She said, "Oh, that's our kinship system. That's about everyone having a responsibility, a role to play." And she walked in and talked to the kids, and the kids were transformed. The teacher, who we thought was a white ex-army sort of cold fish, actually is Aboriginal. He's a Dua man, and he got alive and got into it as well and said, you know, he'll participate. And it was just magical. And the elder said to me afterwards, she said, "You know, usually she has a sense that she's not treated as an equal, that people don't listen. There's conversations and there's consultations, so to speak, but it's really superficial. Nobody's actually interested in what she has to say." For me, that was expressed this great beauty and wonderful privilege I have of really being able to level with people that sometimes are not heard and not actually seen as equals. And act in mutual respect, and I guess that's what it's about.
Well, can I say thank you very much to both of you for taking the time and coming to talk to us. I want to say congratulations. You know, I'm a great believer that we live in a society where you can't let the rat bags win, and you guys are certainly out there fighting that cause in such a wonderful, wonderful way. I think you take with you the best wishes, certainly of all of us here at Arts Wednesday. I'm sure I'm speaking on behalf of all of our listeners as well. And once again, thank you for taking the time.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.